This is Pulse 95. You're listening to the Morning Magilis podcast.
It's the Morning Magilis.
It's the Morning Magilis, and we're really, really excited for this conversation because we are speaking to Mr. Ahmed Zarouni, who is very kindly joined us here in the studios. Normally works as a senior vice president for customer service at Daman, and now he's got his book called A Leader's Legacy: Leaders Who Create Leaders, all about self-help, all about some advice for leadership. And this is going to be a great conversation. He's here with us in the studios. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I like the front cover. I'm a big fan of the book. It's also got the Amazon bestseller signature stamp over there as well. Leader's Legacy. Let's start talking about this. Is your very first book. Yeah. How's the reception been like for the book, and what made you write this?
Okay, I'd say when I started off writing the book, or I wanted to write the book, the idea was to have, first of all, a conversation with the reader, and then to be an easy read and add value to them. So based on those goals, I'd say, and the reviews that I've got, it's been quite successful. It's been quite successful.
Amazing. And what I love about this is the idea of, it's not your typical day job, is it? You know, you've taken a bit of a risk here, and I can imagine that's a good trait of a leader themselves. Can you give us a bit of motivation, really, as to what made you step out of your comfort zone, try something new, and how much of a success or realization that whole period has been?
Yeah, sure. Well, if I'd like to discuss that or speak about that, it would be more on terms of, for me, it was filling a void. There was always something that I could do more. I was sure that I could do something more. I wanted to do more. And the best way of filling that void or bringing all that knowledge is to share the knowledge. Mm. And the only way I could do that is by writing a book. I have managed over 3,000 people in my career span. I have over 20 years of experience. But to bring all that to life, I think the book was a perfect platform.
Mm. I like there's a lot of focus on oneself, because it's not about creating an environment. It's not about the right management tools. You know, when you look at the table of contents and the different chapters, importance of leading oneself, your environment, understanding the need for self-evaluation. To what extent is it down to an individual personality to be solely responsible for creating that environment?
I think now we cannot choose our environments that we are born into, but as soon as we are self-aware, we definitely can make the right decisions to have the right environments for our growth. You see, there's a term I coined in the book. It's called the law of anchors and ladders. It's where you know the people and you know the things, you know the places where are your anchors. The anchors, by anchors, I mean the negative people, the people who bring you down. The people, it's like how Jim Rohn says, the pessimists would say the glass is half empty, whereas the people with a positive mindset would say, it's very cliche, but would say the glass is half full. However, the difference is that the people with a positive mindset, they know that the glass is actually half empty and half full. Yet the people who have a negative mindset will always look at it as half empty and do not believe that it's half full as well. Mm. So for us to be aware of these people, for us to be aware of our environment and being able to change it, and how do we change it? This makes a huge difference. Mm.
And to anyone who's listening and who is a leader of a team, of a company, and is thinking, I just need to know some traits that I can adopt to make that success of what I'm trying to lead that much easier, what would those traits be, would you say?
I would say first of all, in terms of leading, there is no such thing as one size fits all. There is always a situational leader. I call it a situational leader. So it depends on your experience, depends on the person in front of you, the person you're speaking with. What are their needs? What are their wants? What do they actually want? But before that, even if we take a step back, I'd say the best leader is a compassionate leader. Mm. By compassionate leader, I mean that you actually listen to the person. You listen to the person. You genuinely want to help this person. You genuinely want to develop this person. And by doing so, you become a compassionate leader, which has a major effect on anyone. And that's the best form of leadership. Mm. Because I am thinking of you, not of me. Mm-hmm. I am in your service, mm-hmm. although you're reporting to me.
Mm-hmm. Is this a skill that is only developed naturally, or is it something that you can always work on and improve?
I believe, like you rightfully said, it's a skill, and like any skill, it's learnable, and you have to develop it. And it's developed. The best way of developing your leadership skills are through mentors, through coaches, and through reading. Mm. It's there's a saying. They say readers. Not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers.
Mm. Wow, mm-hmm. They're very powerful. I mean, it's quite a strong statement to say as well, because a lot of leaders don't like to listen to others. They're like, I've made the right decision. I if I'm the leader, I am the leader for a reason. Yeah. I don't need to read and look at other examples. So, from your perspective, now you said that you've managed about 3,000 people under you. Have you worked under both horrible boss or a good boss before?
Yes, I've had my horrible times. I've had my challenging bosses. But without the horrible bosses, without the challenging bosses, I would have never come out of my comfort zone. Mm. You see, they pushed me. I would have never... There's a chapter in my book, chapter 15, I've written about it. It's managing your boss, or managing upwards. Wow. By managing upwards, I don't mean taking your boss's dogs out for a walk. You see, it's just you need to understand that your bosses. Let me tell you a small story. Mm-hmm. So I was one of my CEOs. They called me in for a meeting, and after speaking, I think I was doing a great job, and he told me, Ahmed, you're doing a great job, but the expectation from you is 10 times more. I was in shock. I was like, what am I supposed to do with this guy? Mm-hmm. You know, what am I supposed to do? There's nothing that I could do that makes him satisfied. However, so then I said, whose fault was that? Was it his fault for having high expectations, or for me for not delivering? Mm-hmm. You see, the fault was of communication. So that's what I recommend, that you ensure that you know exactly what are the expectations of your manager, mm-hmm. from you, and have that monthly meeting or timely meeting which takes you forward, and it has to be documented. That's the only way. There is also another term that I liked tried to coin. I could say it's speed dial. I call it speed dial. So how do I get on my boss's speed dial? Mm. So that's the first thing that I need to think. How do I get on my boss's speed dial?
Okay. Yeah.
So what I don't do is, first of all, I never assume. You never assume with your boss, because what happens is each time you assume something and it goes south for some reason, then that behind his head, he starts giving you a discount factor. Mm-hmm. So, Abdul Karim told me this, but you know, he's told me this before, maybe 4 or 5 times, and he was not accurate. So whatever Abdul Karim tells me, I'll take it as 70%. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be in that space. Where you want to be is that if you don't know something, the best thing to do is 3 words. I don't know. Mm. Let me get back to you with that. Mm-hmm. And do get back. So that's how you become into the speed dial.
I like how you touched on the perspective of an employee, or the relationship of an employee to an employer, but I want to also touch on the importance of it the other way around, you know, the employer's relationship with the employees, and making sure that they really understand the motives and perspectives of their employees, kind of breaking that barrier down. How important is that relationship for an employee to really respect and understand the perspectives of the employees when it comes to the success of the main goal?
I think, like you rightfully said, it's a culture or a mindset shift, you could say, in terms of adapting the goals, overall goals. But what happens, unfortunately, not in all organizations, but what happens is at the time of planning, you see, they start planning and then they just send it to you for execution. The people, so they resist this change. Most probably they resist this change. Now, to stop the resistance change, What you need to do is the people who are actually executing, you have to have them part of the planning. Mm-hmm. And even if they contribute 1%, what happens to them, it's my brainchild. It's my baby. Mm-hmm. So they will deliver. They will deliver and happily, even if it takes all odd hours or whatever it takes. You know, they are there. They put in their soul. They put in their blood. They put in their hard work. But for you to just order somebody around and they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. It's, and the people say, okay, communication. Yeah, of course, communication is key. But without actually having their inputs from the beginning, and they're the ones on the ground, they're the ones who are the technical experts. Without asking them, so this is where disaster mm-hmm. happens.
Now, I'd like to talk about the book. Now, the Leader's Legacy. Now, what made you come up with this title, and how did you go about reaching out to publishers? Because this is your debut book, and for you to be able to put all of these thoughts together, what's the roadmap to getting yourself published?
Okay, the roadmap. I'd say I was with. I was lost, actually. Yeah. I was lost, and I was very upset, and I thought that I would never ever be able to do this. It took me 4 years to write the book, and I did not go and find out from where could I do it. I just started, and then in the middle, I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I will not be able to do this. And self-doubt. Mm. It just kicked in. And that's when I actually, I was, let me tell you a little bit of a story over here. Mm. I was in, it was Feb. I was sitting having my coffee and it was quite chill. And I put on I was down and I thought I wouldn't ever be able to do this. How can I do this? I'm not an author. I'm not a writer. I've never done it. I do not know any authors. Mm. So I put on an old interview on 60 Minutes, I think. The guy's name was Stephen, and he was interviewing His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum. Mm. And Stephen asked His Highness, he said, Your Highness, you want the tallest building, you want the biggest malls, you want the best education for your people, you want the best infrastructure, you want the best hospitals. Why? Mm. Do you know what Sheikh Mohammed said?
Why not?
Why not? That why not gave me a rush. Yeah. Unbelievable. I was like, okay, why not? Mm. If anybody else can do it, why not me? Mm-hmm. Why not? So this just kept me going, and I started searching even more until a friend of mine actually introduced me to a couple of book coaches. Mm. And then from there, they started, you know, there is a framework, there's a blueprint, that's how you do it. I already had the content, I just needed the framework around it. Mm. And that's exactly what I used.
It sounds like, in terms of great leadership, it's a bit personal, you know, to lead someone else, you've got to lead your own life just as importantly.
You're absolutely right. How could you lead somebody else when you cannot lead yourself? Mm. It's like I always say. It's in my book. It's like, now, for example, when we go on a vacation. Say we want to go to London. Yeah, when we go on a vacation, we want to go to London. So we see how much annual leave we have. We see how much is the budget. We see who's going to come with us. So we need to know where we're staying, where we're flying. We're flying Emirates. Are we flying Emirates in economy, business, first class? What are we going to commute over there? How are we going to commute? When are we going to come back? All this planning just for 2 weeks of vacation. Yet when you ask somebody, what's your plan for this journey called life? Mm. What's your purpose? Most people don't have an answer. Mm-hmm. And it's a fact. 95% of people do not have a goal in life. The 5% who have it, even a smaller fraction of that, have it written down. And the people who have written it down get 10 times more done. Not because they're smarter, just because they have those goals.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, is that something that you want leaders to be doing? Because you mentioned that the leaders should be readers, but in terms of planning, does it all come within, or is it more of a teamwork or sort of brainstorming of ideas?
No, I believe in planning for yourself first. So you plan for yourself first. It's time blocking, planning. You have to have remove distractions. You have to be in, for me, for example, every week, once a week, what I do is I reflect on what happened in the previous week and what I'm going to do next week. Mm. And I keep time blocks every day for myself, for my reading, for my self-development, for, and that's nothing to do with work. Mm. That's my self-development. If I want to grow, I want to become a better leader. It's like the Apple phone, right? Mm-hmm. Every year, they come out with a new product. They come out with new features. They upgrade. Mm. So we are products as well. Mm-hmm. If we don't upgrade, the people around us will outgrow us and we don't become relevant anymore.
Mm. Very valid point.
And talking about upgrading on a personal scale, would you say the fear of failing is holding a lot of people back from doing said upgrades?
I definitely believe so. But it's like how Mike Tyson says. He says, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Okay, if Mike Tyson is punching, you're not going to get up. But I'll counter that with the legendary Muhammad Ali Khelaei when he said, fall 7 times, get up 8. Mm. So, but to speak frankly, we as human beings, when we were toddlers, and learning to walk. Do you know the average toddler falls 38 times a day?
Wow.
38 times a day.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So why is it that we don't give up at that point of time? We just keep going and going and going. Yet over here, we are afraid to fall.
Yeah.
We are afraid to fall. It actually goes back to all in our environment. Mm. It goes to our environment, the people around us, sadly sometimes. I'd like to say I love my mother, but she suffers with paranoia. Mm. And, you know, until I did not know this, every time she came, I felt depressed. Now, I tried to run away from my own mother. Mm-hmm. That's sad. But today, after I understand my surroundings, I understand actually what she's going through, she's suffering.
Yeah.
Now it's different. Mm. So this self-awareness is very important.
Wow. I think that's a very, very powerful statement to send to our listeners about this, the importance of self-awareness. So what's coming up next for you, Ahmed? Are you looking at another book? Because now it's been published this year. It's been also regarded as a number one Amazon bestseller. Are there more in the pipeline?
I'm actually working on a book, but it's not to do. I have two books,
okay.
But I'm working on the one that I'm working on currently is more to do with... We all know about customer experience, about business excellence, about automation, digitalization. So what I'm trying to do is take, and culture as well. So I'm trying to take all of this, put them together in one framework, in one platform, and call it organizational excellence. So this is my next book, hopefully.
It's an exciting time. It is an exciting time, truly. Well, Ahmed Al-Zarouni, being the author of A Leader's Legacy, and really giving us an insight of how a great leader is not just on a business scale, but on a personal scale as well. Ahmed, thank you so much for joining us here on the program.
Thank you. A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to catch that conversation, you can do as a podcast. Just head online, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Apple Podcast, and search for The Morning Majlis. Stay tuned. More conversations coming your way.
This is Pulse 95. Tune in live every weekday from 7 a.m.